B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Penalty, the awesome final play of the night. First and goal to go. Newton has Izzo to his right in the backfield. Johnson behind him. Newton from the pistol. Two tight ends left, two to the right. Johnson shifts to his left hip. Snap to Newton. Nope. He's going to run it left. He's hit behind the line, and he somersaults to the two. The Seahawks celebrate as they stop Newton for a loss on the run. And Seattle will win it over the Patriots 35-30.
Man, does that stink.
If I were you, I would have gone with the No!
I wanted that. I wanted that call.
No, I'm not talking about the call. I'm talking about just the outcome.
Oh.
How those other guys do it in the NFL. The
I'm not those other guys.
No! No!
Oh, come on!
No! What a game. What a night.
I didn't expect that. Did not expect that this early.
Go ahead.
I mean, I felt energy in this game. And I was worried about it because last week I felt no energy. Granted, we didn't have fans here at home. And I think you played to the opponent last week a little bit. You know, kind of sluggish game. Nothing really to get excited about. I mean, Cam looked good in week one. He ran the ball well. They didn't really throw the ball that much. But damn, did they get in a shootout last night? And I don't know. When's the last time I felt that good about a game?
I would like to give them a moral victory for last night. Moral victory for the New England Patriots.
And I'm not comparing it to because it was a championship year.
That doesn't even mean they had to get to the goal line. Had that final drive never have happened, had Russell Wilson handed the ball off, it picked up a first down instead of taking the shot down the field.
Right.
I still would feel this way about the Patriots night.
Yeah.
I would.
I agree with you on that. Now, I am not comparing the two, but you remember the Green Bay game. I think it was 2014 was the year. The Seattle Super Bowl year out in Arizona. We went out to Green Bay, and the coach stood there in the post game, and he just took every question. And, you know, they got in a shootout with Aaron Rodgers. You know, Revis got beat on that slant by Jordy Nelson. But the team competed and fought their ass off. And I think even when you give up plays, and they gave up plays defensively, we'll get into that today. They're a little outmanned in some areas on that defense that they got to fix, and I think they got to fix quickly when you face some passing teams. You had the same type of feeling coming out of last night that you did coming out of Green Bay. Now, Green Bay was later in the year. They were going straight to the West Coast to practice out there before taking on the Chargers, before they went on a run there to win the Super Bowl, and what I thought was one of the best Super Bowls. Boy, these Seattle games are great. It's a back and forth with this team, I think. You know, a lot of respect for what the Seahawks do, the way they fight. But I didn't think this early in the year Patriots are going to give you that type of effort. And put it together, meaning we know they're going to, meaning they're going to fight and all that. But to really put it together this early, because we haven't seen it in practice. People haven't reported on it in practice. The passing game had issues in practice. But that's under live fire, under pressure, under duress last night. I know the 12s weren't there, and you didn't fight the crowd noise like you would have had to during a two-minute drive where it's near impossible to hear anything out there. But they went out on the West Coast, first road game, you know, during the COVID season here, and they functioned well. They functioned well on the road. It was impressive. We got something here. I think we have something here.
What does that mean?
I think they're going to compete for the division with Buffalo, and I think they're going to be a bitch for anybody to play. Because I think they could roll out any game plan any week. We see two completely different game plans in 2 weeks. Now, you got to survive injuries, man. I mean, Julian Edelman is on one leg. He's giving you freaking everything that he can give you. Like, that guy is hurting. You can tell he's on a pitch count. I mean, to not have this guy in a huddle to start a game, that's amazing to me. How many times during the first down he's not in that huddle to start a drive is amazing to me. Because that guy's the heart and soul of your team. And then to have the news happen, what happened pregame with James White earlier in the day, and to lose him. I mean, James White's a massive part of the game plan. It's a nice job by McDaniels and Burkhead juggling things, because Rex got a massive amount of snaps. I think it was 55.
Right. Many of which weren't good, but sure.
But you're playing a different role, dude. I mean, it's, you know, to just like that on the fly. That's like losing AB out in Buffalo, and you had him in a game plan. You got to come up with a new game plan one day, you know, last year. Good effort all around. Good effort. You know, there's issues. There's issues here and there, and you could spot them. But overall, I think we got something here.
Oh, yeah, plenty of issues. We can nitpick this, all day.
This can be better. This can be better than a bridge here.
But listen, big picture. The Patriots went on the road to Seattle. I know there's no fans. They went on the road, and they had a final play at the end of regulation to win the game. There was a play there on the line to possibly walk away with a win in Seattle in week two. And had they successfully made it over that goal line, they will have scored 36 points. I know that there's a pick six in there, but put 36 points up on the board in a shootout with the Seattle Seahawks. I don't think any of us expected that.
Nope.
I did not expect to see that type of game. I didn't expect the Patriots to throw the ball as well as they did.
I didn't expect them to give up the type of touchdowns they did, too.
I didn't expect Cam Newton to complete 30 passes and throw for just under 400 yards. Didn't see that one coming. Yes, there were a couple of mistakes, but he was, for the most part, accurate. He did have a pick in there, almost had some others. But on the whole, I think the performance and where this team is at 2 weeks in is pretty damn good.
You know what I do? I sit there and
it's pretty good.
The nice thing about playing at night, you sit there and you watch all the games. And you flip back and forth, and you're going through everything. What the hell spam risk calling me for, stupid asses? More importantly, why am I having my ringer on?
Yeah, there you go.
It's like Steve Burton, like all over again, right? Like, how many years are you going to do this without turning your ringer off? What was I going to say? Oh, you sit there and you flip around, and you watch all these quarterbacks do this. And obviously we're on radio, but I'm staring at my wrist.
Yeah.
Flipping it up.
Tom Brady's doing a lot of that right now.
Well, Brady, yeah, because I think Brady's unsure of things right now early, too, as I'm sure Cam is. But you watch Cam, he steps in the huddle, he gets the play, he's on the knee, he's looking at everybody. And there's no staring down at a play. Play sheet's actually on his belt. I don't see him really look at it that much. That's pretty impressive for the short time he's been here. And how they've been able to function, because there's no like, oh, poorly coached team. We can't even freaking line up coming out of a TV timeout. We got to burn two timeouts middle of the first quarter. You see that all over the league.
Mm-hmm.
We do. Why the other team's stupid? We sit here and laugh at that. They're clean on offense, which is pretty impressive. I'm talking from a functionality point.
How about late? Instead of spiking the football and stopping the clock, they ran a play.
Yeah.
It was incomplete.
It's incomplete, but. In control, I'm looking aside, I'm getting a call. We're going. Like, okay, that's different. You can be different. They're finding ways to compete and win and be different. And it's impressive to watch on the fly. I think I'm going to enjoy this year. Well, I was a little worried coming into this year. I mean, you know, new faces, guys opting out, cornerstones, Patrick Chung, Dante Hightower, not on your defense. You tell me they don't miss those guys right now a little bit?
Yeah.
In a year in which we know so little about the team before the start of the games, the way they can lose a game can be important. The way they lost the game last night in Seattle was important to me.
Different narrative today. Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
I think it would have been different if they had lost 21-10 or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think we'd be looking at it and say, oh, well, that's who they are and that's what we expected.
It's going to be a roller coaster this year.
They lost the game, but in a lot of ways, they exceeded expectations. And a big challenge going into last night's game was how will Cam Newton throw the football to someone other than Julian Edelman.
Right.
Now, Edelman had a huge night, 179 yards receiving for Julian Edelman last night. And he had 8 catches, which led the team, but he was also tied with N'Keal Harry. And last week we asked the question, as we said we will ask every single week, and I thought this week was obviously much more important. You saw how hard it was to run the football against Seattle. Who is the next best receiver after Julian Edelman? Now, catch-wise, it's Harry, but that's not the answer this week. It's Demir Bird.
Demir Bird
had 6 catches, 2 of which were for conversions on third down, and he finally has looked like a guy who can actually get, I say finally, that's too much, strong.
He could turn hips. When I say turn hips,
he's looking like a guy who's going to contribute to this team in some way, some meaningful way. And that's what we've been looking for.
That is
progress in the passing game this week.
Yep, function in the system. He could get up on a defender, turn his hips to where, okay, I could use my speed to an advantage to get open. Now, ought to caution you too for the we don't want to overreact week one. We don't want to overreact week two, right? Because go back and remember week one, Seattle gave up a ton to Atlanta. I mean, Matt Ryan had him a day.
You got to consider the defense, but Zoe, I think to that point, I would walk it back just a bit, not in terms of like how excited we are, but you know, from Beatles' assessment, you know, one of the big questions: can he throw it to someone other than Julian Edelman? I had a question: can he throw it? Can he throw it more than 18, 19 times a game, and you know, have some success and not throw three or four picks in the process? So I think I started my expectations lower. I'm trying to, you know, lower my level of excitement based on what I saw because of that very reason, though, because Seattle's defense, it's not the Seattle defense with a capital S and a capital D.
I know that.
They're an NFL defense. It's an NFL team.
It's a well-coached team. It's a well-coached team. You know, you still got Bobby Wagner and Averill and those guys. I mean, they got guys up front. But they don't have home wreckers in the middle to get after a quarterback. But I saw Cam go through progressions last night.
I don't even care that they had an injury in their secondary last night. Doesn't bother me.
But you could tell at certain times when Cam will regress to maybe some old habits off the back foot, maybe a quick lazy throw. But when you could see he's in the system and they got him reading things the way they want it, he can go through progressions. I mean, he's going left to right. He knows where the outlets are. I'm impressed.
A lot of people want to talk about the final play call. I know that's an item of controversy today, and I think many of you couldn't be more wrong.
I'd run it 500 times again until you freaking stop that.
I thought it was beautiful.
I thought he was going to walk in. I was standing up. I'm excited. I'm like, I'm going to put my fist through this window. I mean, this is great.
We'll talk about the call at the end of the game, at the end of regulation.
Run it again.
And
stuff it down her throat.
Get to your calls. I'm all kinds of excited for the Patriots today. We got a real football season here, Zo.
Let's go.
All right. Don't go anywhere. All kinds of football talk today on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Ten 19 here on Zolak and Bertrand. Make sure you go to our website, 98.5thesportshub.com. If you haven't downloaded our app yet, the hell you waiting for?
Yeah, what are you waiting for? Dummy?
Tap that app, my friends. Make sure you stream us wherever you go and also get all of our podcasts. It's the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Go get it now.
Since we don't have interns anymore, we got to give him a new name.
What do you want him to be?
I don't know.
What's his real name?
Chuck.
He's not an intern. He's worked here a long time.
Like years.
Ski. He's a ski.
No.
Nope.
Bill.
He's Paisan.
Anthony.
Nope.
No.
Tony.
No, the Paisan
the
first, last name.
Last first, name. First name not.
Guido.
First name is very generic.
Joe. John.
Less generic than that.
Jim. Paul.
Jack.
This is mesmerizing.
First third of the alphabet.
Fred.
No, actually, Frank. First half. We'll
after
say first.
F.
We'll say first.
It's after F. It's not before.
First
F.
Half. Of, before. It's before.
Dave.
It's before L.
Kevin.
Yay!
Last
name. You got anything on the last name?
Kevin Chapinski.
Nope. Again, Artie.
Paisan.
Thank you.
Starts with an M.
You can even give him the starting letter.
Merzol. Brazil.
Almost, right?
Gabagool. Kevin Gabagool.
Maggiore.
Kevin Maggiore. Kevin Minore.
Yeah, I knew him.
A pizza pie.
He wants to give him a new name. He doesn't know his original name, his real name.
Yeah. He's been here a while.
Sorry.
Oh, my God.
All right. It's like Felder with T-Bone.
Yeah.
What's he call you now?
T-Bone. Calls him T-Bone.
What did he call you in the beginning?
The guy. What's his name?
Muscle-bound kid with the big
muscle-bound head. Muscle-bound kid that they show movies off his forehead, okay, down at the Mendon Drive.
Back to the Patriots game, please. The final call of the game. The Patriots lined up to run the football, and there was no doubt about what it is they were going to do. You know when there was also no doubt about what it was they were going to do?
The previous four times they did it?
And before they broke the huddle.
I love the overanalyzation of this play. Like, oh my God, I got eight guys in the box. It's big versus big. Kurt Warner, they didn't spread them out. They didn't stop it all night. They couldn't stop it. When you have a unstoppable rebel force like Cam Newton on that power sweep, and like, why don't you get under center? You don't get under center because he's used to running that with a little head of steam behind it. You put his ass back here. You let him do the little delayed drop step. Let him get a read. And then he drops the shoulder and goes. And it's pretty fun to watch. Great call and a pass to Jakob Johnson. Maybe if they could have kept that in their little back pocket till the final play and didn't bring it out so early, maybe Cam would have scored on that, the one prior. Maybe he should have ran him there. That's the only thing I may second guess on that is if maybe he should have ran Cam another time prior to the pass to where you could have saved that pass. It's like the Danny Amendola slip screen. You know,
here's what I think we learned on this, though. The coaching staff, and probably more specifically Josh McDaniels, doesn't think the team is good enough yet for the element of surprise when the game is on the line. You can run that play to Jakob Johnson in the middle of the game. Right.
Or that you don't have faith in Sony Michel or Rex Burkhead to run that right now.
Well, they shouldn't.
But you do in Cam.
They shouldn't have faith in either of those two guys. But it's more about the formation. There were no receivers out there. I mean, they were running the ball.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, they have no problem lining up and saying, listen, this is
we have
is
a good offensive line. We have continuity. We're going to shove it down your throat. Stop it.
And here's and the truth of that play. If the Patriots could have blocked it up, and they just got beat. It happens.
All the block was 91, and he goes in.
If you could have blocked it up, you could have been in the end zone. That's a play where you say, this is the goal line. Whoever executes the best on this play up front is going to win this play. And the Patriots didn't win it. Yeah, that's okay.
Anwino got beat
but
across his face.
It's not because of the play call that they didn't get in.
Nope.
That's not why.
Nope.
They failed to execute on the play. They didn't get in the end zone.
Oh, man.
I am A-OK with them telling the Seahawks, guys, we're running it here.
It's yes.
You've got to figure out where Cam's going, but this is what we do best, and this gives us our best chance, and we're not going to try and waste guys on the outside to try and trick you because you're not going
to
be fooled.
All you need to do is wall it off.
They would not have been fooled by it.
All you have to do is wall it off the goal line, stalemate, right?
Lock it up,
and what Newton's going to do is drop his shoulder and get skinny, and he's going to force himself over that goal line. You just can't let somebody into the backfield to where they blow it up.
That was it. It was over.
That was it. I knew it right away. Saw him shoot the gap. I'm like, it's over. Got him. I know Cam said after the game, looking at it, he could have bounced it.
I don't think he could.
I don't think he could have either.
Too fast.
You know why? Because the corner had good leverage on Jakob Johnson. He still had outside leverage.
Yeah. If they run that 10 times, how many times do they score?
Probably 8.
Okay, then. I think it's fine.
That guy.
You know what? How about 6?
Yeah,
6 is enough to run the play.
It's better than 50%.
Yes.
It's better than a 50-50 on that play.
It's better than any 2-point play you got in your back pocket and whatever ace card you're holding.
The best point is if they had gone with a pass play, you know, thrown it to a tight end, done something like that, and not converted on that, what are we saying today? What's the world saying today? What are you doing? Passing the ball on the goal line when you've got Cam Newton there, who's already run in for 4 touchdowns in 2 games. What are you doing?
Cam scores there. He's tied with Russ Wilson right now for MVP talk. This early in the year.
Week 2, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean week 2.
Yeah.
But I mean, okay. Russ is on pace to blow doors off, okay? But, like, he's thrown an insane amount of touchdowns.
But to anybody who wants to say they should have thrown it there, okay. And if they don't complete the pass.
Who are you throwing it to?
Well, never mind that. The Edelman, whoever. I'll you know cover. Why? If it doesn't work, what is the world saying today? What are you thinking?
You know what I bet Cam wishes he had back? The throw to Edelman on a skinny post to the right that went through Edelman's hands, but that thing was cooking. And if you look at it from the end zone view.
Yeah.
Cam seems like he pulled the string on it just a little bit instead of throwing it down low. If he puts that down around Jules' ankles or knees, Jules goes down because he had position on the defender. He had inside position on the defender with no free safety.
I only saw the replay once. I thought he put it up there on purpose.
No. You want that down low.
I thought, okay.
Yeah.
Based on the position, I only saw the replay once.
Because there was no inside defender. Yeah. And Jules walled him off, and he had it, man. Just down low inside, and he freaking scores. Cam wishes he had that one back. That would have been ball game. Had it. I mean, they had it. They had a chance, man. That's all you can ask for.
Multiple chances.
Big chances.
Big chances.
Yeah.
Against a good team. On the road. Week two. They're ahead of schedule. Moral victory.
You know why?
The New England Patriots and I know last night.
People are going to crush the defense, and we'll get to the defense,
too.
Oh, yeah,
here. They sucked. in large chunks of the game, they couldn't stop much.
On the Metcalf touchdown and the Moore touchdown, you had it defended. You're there. You know, Steph tried to make the play, had the hand on his face and his chest. Metcalf's just strong, and Moore made an amazing freaking catch. But the other ones, you got to fix those problems. You got to fix blown coverage. You got to fix Juwan Bentley in the middle on coverage on third down. He should not be out there. You should bring four safeties in if you have to chase out there. Those guys are trained to do that. But the defense, we've seen it over the years. They get better as the year goes on. Remember Stephon Gilmore through three games? When he first got here, it was a disaster. They'll fix things. They'll get better defensively. But I am concerned about the run defense. They don't have that big stuffer up in the middle. You know, teams are going to come in and commit and run the ball. When you play like Baltimore and stuff, it's going to be tough to stop. It's going to be tough to stop.
617-779-0985. Let's go to your phones. Reaction to the game last night, John and Stoneham. Go ahead.
Hey guys, Bray, I enjoy your show very much. Great show. But my question is, I agree with Cam running the ball. But I think perhaps maybe if he had faked it to a running back or something, I just think he should have more space to run. That was an impossible run. Seattle had that hole plugged up with so many tons of men. There was no way he was going to score.
Well, you've already heard our thoughts on this. We disagree with you. We actually think that he'd score more often than not on that particular play.
They do a play fake. It takes too long. Get him the ball. Get him ahead of steam going. Pick a side and go.
It's absolutely not an impossible run. We've seen that run already. It's not impossible.
It's going to be the bread and butter. It's going to be the bread and butter.
So
that's why he's here.
We've already seen this run happen, guys.
You start to figure out why he's here and what they can do with him.
So, Zoe, the final play last night was a little bit different in that he didn't do that like stand-up hesitation look. Is it a different play call?
Yeah.
What is the difference? Was there something different with the blocking? Was there something different?
You're pulling a right guard. They were pulling Shaq Mason right to left. He got bounced back because of the penetration. All of a sudden, Cam gets blown up. You offset Johnson. He tried to kick out the guy, and that's more of like a straight dive.
Yes.
As opposed to when he does that drop step delay, that's almost like a counter. You know, so you need that one counter step. Because it's a timing aspect thing.
With the blocking.
Not only the blocking. I think he likes that. He likes that because he's got the perfect timing down. Remember, he's run this since high school. He's run this in college.
Yeah.
And he's got it down pat. The RPO stuff. Maybe he could have went to an RPO there. But, I mean, it's what you do. Yeah, that play works. We're saying it's the greatest call ever. You know, it doesn't work. And, you know, you're gonna get crushed a little as a coordinator. But you understand that. You live with it. You understand the criticism. But I'd have called that play 5,000 times. Because they didn't stop it all night. Man, that's a bell cow right there. That's a money play. Go for it.
We'll get to headlines with Hardy. We'll get back to more of your calls coming up next. 617-779-0985 after a Patriots loss in Seattle last night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. Consider them part of your benefits package.
That was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, you tip your hat to Seattle. They're a very good football team. You know, you also got to look at the men in the locker room. in our locker room. And you know, we learned a lot tonight from these guys. That you're down 2 scores, 4 minutes to go, across the country against a really good football team, and you come back. And we knew it was going to go to the last play. We kept on saying that week, this whole week, and it literally came to the last play, and you know, they got us. But you know, I'm really proud of how we fought as a team.
Patriots lose last night in Seattle. They fought him right till the very end. Zoe, obviously a very difficult situation right before the game, too, with the news of James White and the passing of his father in a very tragic manner yesterday. He was involved in a car crash in down in Miami.
And his dad's a captain on the police force, too. That's
Cooper City. And his dad passed away in the car crash, and his mom was injured as well, and she's listed in critical condition as of last night. That was obviously had to have been a tough situation for everybody there. You know, obviously James White, but his teammates who care very much about him to find that out right before the game.
Yeah. Yeah. James has been here for a while. He's a captain. I don't know the family personally, but I know James, and I've done some stuff with him in the past off seasons. And he's amazing. Does everything you want. I thought Brady put it perfectly. He does everything the right way. Just works hard, fierce competitor. Keeps his mouth shut, leads by example. And I just think in life, you're a product of your parents. And if James is the way he is, you can only imagine how a good a parenting job those two have done. And I think when you play, your dad's such a, like my dad, it's such a instrumental part in your upbringing, you know, the support, going to games, driving you to practices. And it's just had to tear him apart yesterday, tore the team apart because they're so close to James. So when you feel him hurt, you hurt. I'm shocked he stayed with the team. Came, but decided to come back with the team last night. And I guess he was there post game. Russ Wilson went over and was first thing he did, reach out to him, play with him 1 year at Wisconsin. It's beyond sad. You just feel for him. There's not much more you can say.
617-779-0985. We'll get back to the discussion on the game with Pete in Ohio. Pete. We're going to put you on hold because we can't do that. We can't do that. There's something wrong there. Stan's in Medfield. Hi, Stan.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
I thought last night's game was great, but I don't know. Just as a football fan, I think Cam Newton, if he keeps passing the ball the way he does, and he's going to start putting his players at risk. He's kind of dropping that ball kind of in that danger area where back in the days, Brady would place that ball perfectly where just those players would never really could possibly get hit the wrong way. I think like week 6, week 7, Edelman might be on the injured.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you have no choice to bang it in or on a slant. When you're running slants inside, that's a dangerous area. I thought they got the call correct. You know, Seattle, their team that loves to hit from the safety position. They teach it that way. Going back to Chancellor and Earl Thomas and all those guys, Jamal Adams, he's got that chip on his shoulder. That was launching, crown to helmet, helmet to helmet. And the only way you're going to get that hit out of the game is to do what is to you know, eject the guy. Because next time he's going to think.
I understand you know the other argument against it, which is...
I like the bang-bang play. I think it's a football play.
There's so little space there, and there's so little time to react.
It's tough.
But the player's entire approach to the play was head down, head forward.
The natural reaction of a receiver when you catch the ball is to kind of crouch and duck your head. We've gone through this with Antonio Brown.
No, but just look at the defender, regardless of what the receiver did.
Yeah.
How he approaches the entire play there with the head down.
You just can't anymore. We teach it at the kid level now.
Keep your head up.
You teach it in high school. The injections happen on reviews in college. The college game, they'll eject people left and right for this. It happens every Saturday. You know, you'll see multiple ones. You can't hit with your helmet anymore. You can't do it. Another era here with CTE. You're trying to move past some of the head collisions. You've changed the game. You've eliminated the kickoff. You know, you can't get a running start anymore. So, but I understand why they ejected him. And if I was doing a game for the defensive call, I'd probably be a little upset because it's such a football play. It's an old school football play. You know, it's happened so many times over the years.
All but I think about is
the only way you're going to get rid of it is doing what they did.
Do you know what it looked sort of similar to? Because it's not just about the receiver. It's about the defender as well. It's very similar to the Ryan Shazier play.
Yeah.
In Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You know, the one that ended his career.
I mean, he launches with his tip top of his helmet.
Same route.
That's Brandon Merriweather.
Two defenders.
That's Brandon Merriweather stuff.
I mean.
Back in the day.
It's not just about N'Keal Harry there. It's about you.
Yeah, he could have broke his neck. Defender could have broke his neck.
Yeah, he could have hurt himself.
Look at his body coil off.
Yeah, look at the way he hits the deck.
Yeah, you know, he goes all limp sort of, but then has his faculties about him.
But is Cam Newton setting up his guys to get killed? On that particular play, I thought, wow, good for I said on that play, good for Harry. Guy's not afraid to go across the middle. That's for sure. He's showing it on that play.
I thought Harry showed you some balls last night.
I thought he did right there on that play. And I thought to myself, but damn, they're going to get the guy killed. And I don't think the ball placement was an issue on that play. That wasn't a play where you could say that.
He's sticking on the numbers. He puts that out front. He's got to reach for it. Then you really crucify him.
No. Do you think it was that bad of a throw?
I think it's a perfect throw.
Okay, so
it's a perfect throw.
I thought you were saying that you got to put it on the numbers.
No. I'm just saying.
I don't think the throw was an issue there.
Anytime you're running those slants and those pick plays over the middle, you've got bodies. You've got linebackers pilling back. You got safeties that robber stuff where they're already coming down. They're looking for that. They're looking to tee guys up. Makes the job of the defender is to make the receiver never want to go in the middle of the field again. That's why Randy Moss didn't like going in the middle. Randy loves stuff outside. He'll play all day outside, but he'll be putting me over the middle. Short arms.
Because of that right there.
Yeah, that right there.
That type of hit.
Sure.
Alex on the South Shore. Hi, Alex.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
First, I just want to comment on Zoe saying that the defense would get better over time. Last year, through the first 6 weeks, they were the boogeymen. And then last game of the season for home field advantage, they got had by Miami, and then they got ran all over in the divisional round. So, I can't agree with that statement. That being said, I learned two things about last night. One is Sony Michel is absolutely useless, and in that if James White was there, that would have had a huge impact on their effectiveness within the 10-yard line because I thought that they had trouble with that last night. And the last play of the game, James White would have definitely – look who they went to at the end of the Atlanta Super Bowl. James White would have definitely been able to – would have been a factor in that last play. And who knows, you know, that would have taken away coverage from Cam. Either you went to James White or...
Sure. Could have been a factor on the two-point conversion try. James White, that's what I thought.
No doubt.
They're missing James White right now.
But you're in the game at that point. And you go with what you have. And you're not thinking about James White.
Can I tell Alex why he's dead wrong on the first point about the defense?
Yeah.
He's right about how it played out last year. They went from being the boogeyman to being, you know... The guy's the end of the year. You have a completely... I want to say completely, that's wrong. You have a lot of new faces and young players that are in the development of their career right now.
Even when you bring veterans in, too. Look at the Revis here.
Chase Winovich is getting the most playing time he's ever had in the NFL. He didn't play a lot last year.
Oh, he looks
good. Playing a lot more now. He's had an offseason where he obviously got bigger and looks stronger and is playing well and is developing as a player. I expect him to get better.
Phillips is hitting. How about Duggar? You mean to tell me you can't take Duggar now?
Guy's a rookie. He's going to get better between now and the end of the season.
Okay, now we got a guy who can shoot gaps and blitz. He's got some speed, and boy, does he got a little lead in his pencil.
I think Juwan Bentley is in a new role now in his career and is developing as a player. There's a lot of reasons to look at this defense with a lot of young players now and say they will get better as time goes on. Last year, you had all these veterans.
I think right now, Bentley's a first and second down guy. Third down, you probably got to get him off the field. Like you're going to be able to spot guys now. Put four safeties in there if you have to.
There's reason to say that about this defense.
They will make adjustments and move. I mean, I say that because of the way it trended with Gilmore, the way it trended to Revis and Browner year. You know, they weren't playing great at the beginning, and then they caught fire midseason. Normally, for the most part, 80% of the time, these defenses get better.
More of your calls next. Why they were stupid. We're still doing it. It's going to happen at 11. Stay tuned.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. He got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
617-779-0985. We got to get this in from yesterday. It's Mabel in the car calling in after an epic comeback for the Cowboys and another ridiculous collapse for Dan Quinn and the Atlanta Falcons. Mabel, take your victory lap. Go for it.
Good morning, gentlemen. Am I allowed to take a victory lap or what?
Do you want to?
Well, let me tell you. I was very disappointed in the beginning of the game, and I think I'm in shock as far as the rest of Cowboys Nation is in shock that we actually won. But it was a pretty amazing game. But can we talk about why Atlanta was stupid?
Can we do it without using the phrase Cowboys Nation anymore?
Yeah, I hate that.
That one I don't like.
Mabel, I hate Patriots Nation. I hate that phrase, Red Sox Nation. It sucks.
I promise I will never use it again. How about that?
All right.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing game. Was very discouraged in the first three quarters. And
yes, why were they stupid? Tell me why Atlanta was stupid.
No, we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that amazing onside kick. We're going to talk about Greg Zuerlein. We're going to talk about who you guys think is going to beat. Who's going to win next week? Are my Cowboys going to beat Seattle or what?
Okay, that's going too far ahead. Let's talk about that game quickly.
I turned it off early. Like when it was, what was it, 20 to nothing, and they scored, it was 20-7.
Atlanta completely crapped themselves. But on top of that, Cowboys showed me a little something there. They're not the same old Garrett Cowboys.
That takes...
As much as they have another stupid coach,
well,
they have a coach who is less stupid.
You got a guy who knows how to use talent, push the ball downfield.
Less stupid than the previous coach.
If you're going to pay Dak $30 million, let him throw the freaking ball.
And they do.
Yeah.
And that's how they got back in that thing.
Yeah.
And Amari Cooper. Oh, my God. See the catch he made yesterday in that catch on the fingertips? Holy smokes.
He doesn't get enough credit, Nick, when you talk top receivers in the league. Because everybody goes to Fitzgerald and Julio Jones. You're all great. That guy could game, man.
Well, he fizzled out in Oakland at the end. So that's why
he didn't have a great game. I watch him during other games, and he tiptoes, and he could do those balance catches in the back corner and sideline, and then
he has ability though.
Taps out when he plays up here against Gilmore. Gilmore took him out of the game, like he didn't want to play. It was weird.
Let's go to Scott in Dighton today. Hi, Scott.
Ooh, Scott in Dighton.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Hey.
Looking at the game last night, I'm looking at the options that the Patriots had versus Cam Newton running the ball last game. Last play of the game, they have other options, which, you know what? The second game of the year, great learning experience. You know you have other options, which is going to lead to better things in the past. However, they got to find an answer for Jones on defense. He got torched last night, play after play. Got to find someone to replace.
I have a question. Who's Jones? Is there a Jones on a team?
He's looking for an answer for Jones. Jonathan Jones? Who's he talking about?
Oh, Jonathan Jones?
Who's he talking about? It's got to be.
What, for the one holding call yet?
I guess.
McCourty gave up a touchdown. Stephon Gilmore gave up a
Jason
touchdown.
Jason McCourty, right?
Yep. Phillips gave up a touchdown to Carson, right? On the fade. Lockett was well covered by Jason McCourty on the back end line. And it was a great throw by Wilson going through all the touchdown passes. Okay, Jones. Like, I didn't watch that game last night. I think that Jonathan Jones, like, killed you. He had called for the one grab, and it was a good call.
Pete in Ohio's back.
Hey.
I want to go back to Pete in Ohio.
Sure. Sounds better.
Hey guys.
Hey.
Happy Monday. And thoughts and prayers to James White's family. Hey, I got two quick questions. What the players that opted out beginning of the season, are they eligible to return? And if not, why?
That's a good question. I remember us looking into that. And
they're not.
They're not now, but there was a window, right?
You can,
there's a window to come back before the first game.
You can opt out now. You can't opt in.
I mean, it's not like an injured reserve list.
No, you're off. You're out. Once you declare like that, you're out.
So they weren't physically sick. Well, no. They didn't test positive for COVID.
No. They have family issues. They have babies on the way.
Okay. All right. Second question. When Matt Patricia gets fired, you think he's going to have a seat somewhere with the Pats?
Well, easy.
Not that we want him.
Easy. They're doing some unorthodox
have
things
some
there
pains.
In Detroit.
Have some growing pains there.
But, they're on to something.
Oh, no. I think they all come back. I think that's how it works. When Patricia gets fired, he'll end up back here.
Yeah,
When what's his face there in New York, the special teamer, Joe Judge gets fired, he'll end up back here. They all end up back here. They all come home.
Why wouldn't you want Matt Patricia back here, though, as he orchestrated one of the greatest defensive plays in NFL history?
Listen, say what you want about how bad he is as head coach. I mean, he's good to have as an assistant, isn't he?
Yeah.
Of course. Good assistant to have around.
Of course. I like him, you know.
Yeah, I don't want to make him the decisions for the team, but he's fine on the staff.
Wonderful. Good guy.
Pete in Ohio there. He sounds a little like Mark in Medford. Hey, what's up, guys?
Yeah, no, there is
a
similar.
It's a little Mark
in
Medford.
Pete in Ohio is the one that talks to us about sharks, right?
Correct.
He was in the Coast Guard?
Yep.
Yeah. He's seen big
ones. Well, Jimmy, our intern, he's in the Coast Guard, too. So
how is Jimmy doing? Has anyone heard from Jimmy?
I don't know.
Has he been putting any more videos on Twitter? Trick. He's big on Twitter vids.
Is he?
Yeah.
He's living on a boat right now.
Did he get called back?
I think so, yeah.
It fell off.
Back on duty. Jake in Cranston. Hi, Jake.
Buoyant.
Hey, guys. I want to talk about the worst play call in the last 2 minutes yesterday that no one's talking about today.
Okay.
3rd-and-1, Pete Carroll, 150 left in the clock.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We have.
And they decide to throw the ball after what happened in the Super Bowl a few years ago.
Yeah, we have Why the Other Team Was Stupid coming up in about 2 minutes.
No, the Patriots lost.
I know.
It's on the Patriots.
But
you want to talk about it then.
Oh, the glaring thing for me was that one. Two timeouts left.
The play.
You gave them the ball back with two timeouts left.
That's crazy.
You didn't even make them. Oh, my God. Yeah, it's.
Well, I don't. Okay. In their defense, were they having any success running the ball against the Patriots last night?
Yeah.
Oh, only a ton.
Yeah.
It's 3rd-and-1. Yeah, what are you doing?
A quarterback who can run, like maybe go shotgun, spread them out, and just say, hey, Russ, go pick it up.
It's incredibly
cool. Cook, Russ, right? That was the saying last night. Cook. Let Russ cook.
Oh.
Like the cook.
Not only that, you're forcing the other team to burn a timeout there if you choose to run, even if you don't get it.
Yeah.
It's absolutely ponderous why that play call and even that pass. If you want to pass the ball, okay, I get it. That pass,
Russ, you got it. You got this one, man. Just make sure you hit it. Okay. Okay.
Just got to drop it in there.
Can we talk about Pete not wearing a mask last night after the massive mandate last week by the league?
Okay, so I heard you were saying this on the broadcast. You called him out on the broadcast for this.
It happened like to the point like someone's got to say something.
For those of us at home,
okay,
it looked like he was wearing it more than half the time. There was a lot of pulling down, but a lot of the shots they showed him in, he had the mask up.
Okay,
so
maybe it was an end of game. Like it was vivid to me in the fourth quarter.
But you had a better view than us.
Well, because they started showing me, he's like chopping a gum. Yeah, and I had a different view too. And he didn't have it on that much. It's all dang. You know, Bill's fighting it over there with the beak. Yeah, you know, he's got that black one on.
I don't know what that was all about.
Yeah, he went from the N95 to this filtered black one that he just couldn't find the right positioning on nose, face, mouth, up and down. But at least he attempted to wear it.
I don't know why he didn't.
He saw Matt Rule with the shield.
Did he forget to bring his mask or something? What happened?
I think they have many of them.
Why didn't he wear the same mask?
He was wearing the white one in pregame when they showed him.
Yeah,
they showed him in slow motion and it was going in and out.
I mean, that mask
very dramatic
worked
looking.
Well for him last week.
Maybe he didn't like the in and out.
Oh, maybe not.
Look, he breathed in a bag.
Headlines and then why the Patriots were stupid. Okay. That's next.
All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.